From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty with the news on this day in Maine, Monday, March 9th, 2020.
This Day in Maine is made possible by the Dempsey Center, making life better for people managing the impact of cancer. Locations in Lewiston and South Portland. DempseyCenter.org.
The state legislature's education committee is considering a bill that would amend Maine's new vaccination law, which was overwhelmingly upheld by voters in last week's referendum. Patty White has more on the public hearing in Augusta today.
The bill would amend the law passed last year and exempt students who attend virtual charter schools from state vaccination requirements. The proposal drew support from the campaign that sought to repeal the new law, which eliminates religious and philosophical exemptions. But some who spoke in favor of the bill asked that the amendment go further and also exclude private and parochial schools from vaccination requirements. Brendan Kruger is principal of Pine Tree Academy, a Seventh-day Adventist school in Freeport.
Please consider continuing to allow religious and philosophical exemptions for non-government-funded schools.
The bill also clarifies that employees of healthcare facilities must adhere to new vaccination requirements by September of 2021. Another proposed amendment aims to expand access to low or no-cost vaccines by including all post-secondary students enrolled in Maine schools through age 18 in the state's Universal Childhood Immunization Program. The Maine Medical Association testified in support of the bill. The group that sought to preserve the state's stricter immunization requirements, Maine Families for Vaccines, testified neither for nor against. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
And Maine's first sober living house for women and their children is scheduled to open this summer in Machias. Patty Geisinger is the recovery programs director with Healthy Acadia, which will run the recovery programs in the house. She says the plans are drawing broad support from the community.
We don't anticipate pushback from the local community. I think people have arrived in a place where they understand that this is a really important thing and this is real, and that a thing like this can and will save lives.
Unlike many programs in Maine and elsewhere, this house will allow residents to be on medication-assisted therapy for opioid use. The house will have space for about 8 to 10 women as well as kids. The house will be run in partnership with several social service organizations and also get funding from Maine Housing. In weather tonight, snow in the north with up to 7 inches of accumulation and the most in the northwest. Otherwise, showers in most of the state, lows in the mid-teens to the low 40s. Tomorrow, showers everywhere but the coast with highs in the mid-30s to the low 60s. There are currently 3 Republicans seeking their party's nomination to challenge incumbent Democrat Jared Golden in this November's 2nd District Congressional Contest. As part of our Your Vote 2020 election coverage, Maine Public's asking each of them about the issues that pollsters have identified as being most important to Republican voters. Senior political correspondent Mal Leary spoke with former Republican State Senator Eric Brakey about health care, the opioid crisis, and of most concern to Republicans, taxes and spending.
Well, the first thing to recognize is that both parties in Washington, D.C., the establishment Republicans as well as the establishment Democrats, have absolutely failed on this. And they've failed in a bipartisan way. What happens every few years when the budgets come out is Democrats always want to spend more on welfare spending here at home. Republicans, at least the Republican establishment, the old guard, always wants to spend more on warfare spending abroad, more wars in Iraq and Afghanistan and Syria, and it never goes on and on. And so they compromise, they come together and say, let's just spend trillions more on everything, and won't we then all be happy? Of course, for us, the taxpayers of America, we get stuck with the bill. We have $23 trillion in debt. We have over $100 trillion in unfunded liabilities. You divide that out across America, that's a bill of over $1 million for every single American taxpayer. So the way that we get taxes and spending under control is that we have to cut a little bit of what both sides want. Maybe we can't afford the Medicare for all, you know, free health care for everyone. And maybe we also can't afford to have trillion-dollar wars that never end. We need to – that's why I'm a big advocate for both for cutting spending on all sides, especially looking at bringing our troops home from these wars that have gone on for close to 20 years now and haven't produced results. And if you ask our soldiers fighting over there, nobody even knows what the mission is.
Well, you brought up the Medicare for All, which is one of the many health plans out there. It's also a big concern of Republicans. Republicans really want an affordable health care plan that covers people. So how would you do that, having rejected already Medicare for all?
Well, first of all, we need to understand what the problem is. And the problem is the bureaucracy. Doctors are overworked, patients are overpaying, and yet the bureaucrats, the middlemen, are the ones who are making off really well. If you look at the cost of healthcare, a full third of it is the cost of bureaucracy. And I'm talking insurance companies. I'm talking hospital systems. I'm also talking about the government bureaucracies themselves. They all justify their own existence by pointing to each other and say, hey, you need us to fight these other bureaucrats. But really, if you just fired the bureaucrats and put doctors and patients back in charge, not only would you see healthcare prices come down immediately by a third, you would also inject real price competition back into the system. You put patients back in charge, and healthcare providers are going to have to cater to what patients want, which is high-quality care at lower prices, like we see in other healthy industries, but we don't see in healthcare because government has screwed it up so much. So I'm the only candidate running for Congress who's put out an actual plan for how we fix healthcare. Now, my Democrat opponent, Jared Golden, wants to socialize it. He wants to put Washington, D.C. bureaucrats in charge. I want to personalize it. I want to put doctors and patients in charge. And you can read about my plan to personalize healthcare at ericbrakey.com.
The opioid crisis is affecting everybody, across the lines, political parties. It's probably the one thing that unifies among all of the various political diverse groups. They want government to do something about it because government didn't step in and regulate this industry and allow this crisis to occur. What would you do to try to tackle this and solve that problem? Because we've got literally hundreds of thousands of people that are suffering from this disease and need the help. And we have to stop it, but we also have to help those folks who have already been addicted.
Well, first of all, let me say that I think the old school approach of trying to tackle this problem of saying that we're just going to take people and we're going to lock them in cages, you know, if they get addicted to substances, we treat this as a pure criminal justice problem. I don't think that that has been working. And I don't think that that is the approach that we should take going forward. I think that we need to recognize that this is a health crisis, and these are people who have become addicted to these substances. Oftentimes, it's because a doctor prescribed them something for pain, and that use of that got out of control. It was very addictive, and they find themselves in this situation now. So I think that we need to have compassion for people who find themselves in this situation. You're right. It could be anyone. It could be your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, your own child. So when we're looking at solutions, I think the old lock people up and throw away the key is not how we should be doing this. When I was the Senate Chairman for Health and Human Services here in Maine, we spent a lot of time working on this, and I advocated for both support for treatment, helping people get access to treatment resources, and also for harm reduction strategies to help people not die. You know, I'm pro-life, and I think that being pro-life means that all life we should be working to protect, whether that's someone who is addicted to opioids or other situations.
Eric, thank you very much for taking time to talk with us.
Senior political correspondent Mal Leary speaking with former Republican State Senator Eric Brakey. To learn more about all of the candidates in Maine's 2nd Congressional District and in other races this year, go to mainepublic.org/yourvote. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join us tomorrow on Maine Calling at 1 o'clock, where we'll talk about financial planning during times of uncertainty. I'm Nora Flaherty.